books in your ears.
I love it.
While you're driving.
While you're riding your bicycle.
While you're on the toilet.
You mean anytime?
I wouldn't have thought of that toilet thing, but...
audibletrial.com/dream.
Free audible book of your choice.
And a free 30-day trial of their service.
audibletrial.com/dream.
They figured out what the customer really wanted. And they bundled it around a commodity. It's time for another episode of the Grow the Dream Show. Today, we're going to be talking about the message for your business. How do you craft the most strategic, powerful message that's going to get you new clients and get their attention and all of that other good stuff? Lots of strategy that you can implement. All that and more coming up right now on the Grow the Dream Show.
Oftentimes, it's the ones that are successful loved what they did so they could persevere when it got really tough. And the ones that didn't love it quit.
I learned many great lessons from my father, not the least of which was that you can fail at what you don't want, so you might as well take a chance on doing what you love.
Welcome to the most indispensable show for people doing the hard work of growing your business. It's the marketing podcast by entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs. Welcome to Grow the Dream.
All right, welcome to the Grow the Dream Show, episode 19. Rod, this week, we're joined by a strange life form.
A special, special guest with us today.
Hey, Josh.
The Grow the Dream Show.
I think we're going to have to announce a new feature on the show. Josh's Jingles.
Oh, I thought you were going to say I was the new feature.
We have a guest on the show today. His name is Josh.
Yeah, but we are going to give you some crap about Miss. You missed like two shows out of the last three.
Some literal crap or like figurative?
Figurative. No, just figurative.
Just figurative. Yeah.
Thank you.
Hey, welcome back.
Hi, it's good to be back.
It's really good to have you back. We had a different show last week. It was fun.
It's a great show.
I listened to the show and I felt that there was some angst towards me for not being there.
Just a little.
We got over it pretty quickly.
We just wanted to make sure that it was recorded for posterity, though.
No, but it didn't seem like you were 100% joking, guys.
I'm sorry you felt that way.
Yeah.
Because we really do miss you when you're gone. It's fun
we
having
do.
You back.
And that's what causes the sincerity of the angst, is we truly miss you,
just
Josh.
The sincerity of the angst.
If we didn't care about you, you wouldn't feel any angst
that's
at
right.
all.
Speaking of care.
We'd be more like partying.
I made this last cup.
It's good, actually. The coffee today is it's Starbucks, again, because we didn't bring any special beans. But you juiced it up pretty nicely today, actually.
Yeah, and actually, I think we did this at the end of a couple shows ago, but we want to know what you are drinking as a listener so that we can actually try it on air.
Well, we know
drinking
that,
some of the same stuff.
We know that Sailor Constantino is about to try Coffee Cult as a result of our show.
Nice.
Sailor reached out on Twitter this week.
Coffee Cult is killer.
Yeah, it is. So anyway, just a shout out to you. Actually, I think we should start a listener mail segment because we're starting to get more email from listeners. Maybe we should do that at the end.
Oh, mail as in like
M-A-I.
Email versus mail. No, I mean like
messaging.
Email. Yeah, like or tweets or questions that come in through ask.growthedream.com or you know, whatever. Maybe we should
start. Or if you put a letter in the mail to us and we get it out of the mailbox, that works too.
Yeah.
What was that? Mailbox?
I don't know. I mean, mailboxes. USPS.
Sometimes he says stuff I don't understand.
A week later, we'll get it,
We have a P.O. box published on the growthedream.com site.
I know we do.
But you know how often it gets checked?
As frequently as it should, probably.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
You know what P.O. boxes are for?
What's that?
Email footers. Because legally, you have to have those.
Hand spam requires a physical address or
email. I'm putting my home address on that thing, Mike. You crazy?
Oh, of course. Hey, speaking of mailing stuff, Hannah O'Reilly is our big winner.
Yay!
So congratulations to you, Hannah.
Hannah and O'Reilly.
She's also from California. I don't know what it is with our Californians, but Hannah won the big prize package, which includes utility, why smart marketing is help, not hype.
Spelled with a U-Y-O-U.
Y-O-U.
By Jay Baer, who was a guest a month or two ago, whenever it was.
What up, Jay? How you doing?
And Jay was a blast. It's a great episode.
Yeah, if you haven't heard it, you really should go back through and check it out.
I listen to it kind of regularly, actually. I keep listening, and I've made it required listening for our staff and some of our clients.
Nice.
Yeah, because he just does a good job.
Yeah, what about the lady that burnt her omelet because of that show?
Oh, God bless her. We ruined someone's breakfast.
Yeah. She turned it on a Sunday morning while she was making breakfast.
It's true.
And she got so engrossed in the episode, the next thing she's, what's that smell?
I know. And I felt so bad about that.
In a good way.
I'm truly sorry about your breakfast. Yeah. But I'm really glad that
that's not the purpose of the show to ruin your breakfast.
I'm glad the show was that interesting. So Hannah got a copy of that book, which I must mention is a New York Times bestseller. And she also got a copy of another New York Times bestseller. And Hannah, we're going to ask you to keep the name and the author of that book to yourself.
I have a hint.
For only two more weeks.
I have a trivia.
Okay, what? A trivia. Trivia is plural. You know that, right? Oh, anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. It's something to do with a whale.
Okay.
Okay, there's your trivia hint on ours.
And not Twitter's fail whale.
Yeah.
All right.
I feel like that's vague enough that you're not going to get mad
at me. I like
that.
No, that's good. And I understand now why you said it that way. But then we're going to have another discussion about... Well, anyway, never mind.
But the rest of that plug was that in a couple of weeks, we are having on our show another New York Times best-selling author.
And he's a whale.
He's a whale of an author.
He's a whale of an author. And he is actually, he's a really great presenter.
Yes.
I've heard him speak, and I'm excited about having him on the show. And speaking of whales... that we might have landed. Well, this one's more of a shark, actually. Maybe we should leave the tease right there. But we have lined up another really fantastic guest who we don't have actually scheduled yet. But
I did that a couple weeks ago. Nobody noticed.
Sorry.
Yeah. So, but anyway, I think we have some really great shows coming up in the next few weeks. But a big congratulations to you, Hannah. Hannah said that she is working on a startup project and wants to know which of us would be the best suited to have her free consult with. So
Me.
I thought you might.
She's in California, and she said the word startup.
Absolutely.
And that's all Josh needed to hear.
That's it. Josh is on board.
Of course, it's always your choice. I say pick me.
Well, she really kind of left it up to us. So, Anna,
yeah.
Maybe we'll just, set
we'll
that
noodle
up.
Noodle it around and toss it to Josh.
I'll be in San Francisco next week, maybe.
Oh, wow.
Actually, cool. This week.
So, hey, thank you to everybody who took the time to leave us a review during our contest. And we've even picked up a few more reviews since the contest, so we're very grateful for that because, obviously...
Free reviews. Unsolicited reviews. Genuine reviews.
Yeah. Well, we are still asking you to review. So, technically, they're all solicited because we...
It's because we keep soliciting them.
But we appreciate them very, very, very much. And you never know when we might have another contest. So, And we might just pick from all the people who've already left reviews. You never know.
Nice.
You like that?
Yeah.
All right. So last week was a fun show because we talked about something that's not exactly directly marketing related, but it's so huge for any business, whether you're a business owner or you work in a small business. Last week's topic was really, really important.
Right.
So,
but this is the show about growing your small business, not necessarily marketing your small business.
It's true. I mean, although we all have a marketing bent and that's what our, but we're all working on growing our businesses too. So,
absolutely.
We deal with stuff like payroll, that was.
Did you hear about that Zenefits and ADP fallout thing?
No.
Yeah. Apparently ADP just shut off the integration with Zenefits, which was automatically handling payroll for a lot of the Zenefits customers.
Is Zenefits related to Zen Payroll? Because I use Zen Payroll, but I'm not using Zenefits. I've never heard of Zenefits.
Well, it sure sounds like it would be related.
You would hope, yeah. Right?
I don't know.
Or somebody's got some issues.
I don't know, but if you guys haven't heard about it, let's not talk about it.
Okay, well, it's too late. We already did. But we are going to be talking today about one of the components that, this is a marketing thing because we deal with it in marketing meetings and in marketing strategy. But it goes so far beyond marketing.
He's
Rod. Normally that's Josh who pours the coffee in your ear when you're listening to the show. But today it's Rod with a goofy grin to accompany.
Doesn't everybody now just really need a cup of coffee once they
either
hear that?
Either that or...
Yes, yeah, exactly. Or they vacate the previous cups of coffee.
Yeah, they're frantically dashing.
Or they have to pee.
Yeah, that's what
That's what I was trying to say with vacate the previous cups of coffee. Goodness.
And I was saying it with the mad dash, but anyway.
We all got it anyway, somehow. We hope our listeners did too.
It's true.
Those that are still listening at this point.
Dear God, when are you going to talk about something useful?
Now.
Well, I was trying to set it up, but, Oh, man.
It's Ron's fault. He poured the coffee It's true. In the mic, literally.
You made it.
I think that mic is still okay. Yeah. Okay, so but we're talking about something, as I was saying, that is not just a marketing thing, but it comes up because, Rod, you know, especially, you know, we're working on this with clients right now.
Right.
And it has to do with messaging strategy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And asking yourself the question of, like, what business are you really in? What do you really sell? How do you have craft an overarching message for your business? But, you know, at the end of the day, this is not a marketing strategy thing.
This is really, no, it's not really. It helps companies to identify really who they are, what they're doing. I mean, it's really core to a company to be able to understand this.
It has really far-reaching implications, especially in the context of last week's discussion. You know, when Joey was talking about saying no to things and cutting things off and paring down and simplifying and focusing tightly, I was thinking, boy, you know, he wasn't even talking about that so much from a marketing standpoint, although it does come out, as we said last week, in marketing discussions. But it these concepts, if you work on them, have such far-reaching implications to everything, every business decision you make.
Tell your story. I liked your story.
So, all right, so going back a few years, this is sort of...
Not as far back as Rod, but a few years.
That was completely gratuitous.
It really was. It was kind of a cheap shot. Going back to before Josh was in college.
There you go.
You remember the days of the Yellow Pages? I think almost every business who's been in business for a while can identify with this. Or if you worked in a small business...
Got a joke. Why are the Yellow Pages yellow?
Oh, wow.
Just kidding. Keep going.
Seriously, people, we will get to the point.
There is a good answer to that question, but I'm not even going to, you know, qualify.
We're going to let everybody answer that themselves.
Yeah.
The more time you spend, the more it's qualified.
So 10 years ago, when the Yellow Pages were still a good idea, you know, when businesses were investing in Yellow Pages ads and still, you know, what would happen? It went like this. The Yellow Pages ad salesman would show up at the business, and the discussion would be something like, hey, do you want to buy an ad? Sure. Yeah, we need to buy an ad. Do you want to buy a bigger one than last year? Yeah, we need to increase the size of the ad. Sure. And you'd have all this dialogue about, yeah, we're going to do the Yellow Pages, right? And then somebody would go, okay, well, what should the ad say? Right?
I don't know.
And then there would be this long, awkward pause, like the one we just had, and someone would look at the Yellow Pages guy who works for the Yellow Pages company, the phone company, and would say, well, what do you think it should say?
You know? Say, Perry's Plumbing. Yeah. Call Perry's Plumbing today if you need a plumber.
Do we have a jingle for Perry's Plumbing? No. But, you know, so
you didn't give me – I mean, I got to let the
– I know. You got to let it.
It's the
gotta,
notes.
It's got to happen.
Percolate.
And I don't know why we're picking on plumbers again, but we do that here. So
no, I'm picking on Perry.
We don't pick on them.
But no, I mean
we like them.
I mean that in a good way. You know, yeah, your son's a plumber. What are we talking about? So I think
which one?
The one who's a plumber. That would be Byron.
Yeah,
thank
that's
you.
Byron.
That was yeah.
So when the ad guy, I guess everybody assumed that the ad guy would know what would be best because he's dealt with ads all the time, presumably.
Well, he might act. I mean, if he was a good ad guy, he should.
Well, being a good ad salesman and knowing about what gets results may or may not actually have any correlation whatsoever.
Bigger
right?
is better. Sometimes guys are just good at selling.
Exactly. You know, now, if they've been an ad guy for a long time and they've sold for a long time, then they're going to have some sense of which businesses got better results. So I guess there's some logic to that theory, but ultimately it breaks down because why would the ad guy know what your message is?
Yeah. He might know what the message of your general industry is.
Sure.
Because he's dealing with all the other plumbers.
Yeah.
But what's specific to your business?
So as a business, the problem with that story is that it was so close to home for most businesses, mm-hmm. right? Like, and today, we don't deal with this with the Yellow Pages, hopefully, anymore, unless you live in God's waiting room.
Yeah. I think they still work in retirement homes.
Yeah, they do. Absolutely.
Honestly, I still get a Yellow Pages book dropped out by our mailbox.
Oh, yeah,
every
we get
year.
Them, too.
I mean,
yeah.
they're shrunken in size, but I'm stunned that they can...
They must do it by age now.
You, no, we get them too, but you can't
definitely got to play some one-on-one.
You know, for years I used to take pictures of them holding up, you know, they were the door stops and holding the door open. But now you can't even use them for that anymore because the door slides right over the top of it, like the gap.
Yeah, true.
You know what I'm saying? Like
true,
the gap.
Because they're so thin.
Yeah,
now.
They're so thin. And they just don't weigh enough to hold anything open anymore. But anyway, so they most of the time they go right into the recycle bin.
Old media.
Yeah, it's sad. It's bad. But these days, we don't deal with the Yellow Pages so much, but we deal with this question all the time, right? I mean, how many different types of ad placements, Josh, would you say you've made in the last year for clients or for businesses that you were working with?
All 100% were not on the Yellow Pages, I can tell you that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but like we're talking pay-per-click on Google. We're talking AdWords. We're talking Facebook ads. We're talking, you know, display ads, text ads, you know, all kinds of ads, right? In other words, we deal with this question all the time. What is our message?
Well, and I think before you can go to the different channels and say, how do you, you know, display your message for this specific channel, which has different implications for each, but you have to understand your message of your business, which we alluded to a little bit in the We Don't Sell Salves Here episode.
Truly.
Where we talked about Slack. And once they found product market fit, they then had to figure out how to message that product market fit that they had to their customers.
Exactly.
In a way that the customers could understand.
So what does that mean? So we're asking the question, like, what do you really sell? What business are you really in?
So this is interesting because there's a company in town here called C-Suite Communications. They used to be Clark Advertising. They're a big one. And
I didn't know they changed their name.
They did. And, you know, I mean, they're a big firm, and they do some pretty good work and on. They just did a big rollout for Southeastern Guide Dogs. And
For people who not from Southwest Florida, Southeastern Guide Dogs is actually a massive organization based right here.
Right.
Where we used to deal with the little puppies in retail. They would come in with the puppies wearing the little outfits because they were being trained.
Everybody loves puppies.
But you couldn't pet them because they were working.
Everybody loves puppies. And that's part of this. So they do their rollout. Now they're doing a whole thing, TV, print, digital, and billboards. And I'm completely not sold on billboards anymore because that is about the least targetable medium out there, really.
But puppies on billboards must work.
Bingo. And so, I mean, that's what I'm thinking anyway. I guess they'll find out, really, because they just rolled this thing out. But
man, I'm going to start a company that does cat billboards because I think they would actually.
Yeah, it's called the internet.
But yeah, hang in there.
If it works on the internet, it should work on a billboard.
Talk to a guy.
But seriously, think about. I was thinking about this though.
There's a guy named Al Gore working on something that you'll like. Yeah.
When you got to focus your message. I mean, there's nothing I think though that requires focus more than a billboard because people are zipping by those things fast. And I think they say like 8 to 10 words is what you can max out on a billboard.
Unless you're near a regular traffic jam in LA.
That's
right?
True, right? And that's
and then you can write a novel on that billboard.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, anyway,
but so like they're using pictures of puppies and they're calling them Destiny, the future guide.
Destiny dogs.
Destiny, future guide dogs, featuring like Jackie and Gibson, and it's a couple of labs because lab puppies are about the cutest
there. And they use labs almost all the time for service.
Exactly.
Dogs. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. And they have on it like they have a picture of the puppy, name Jackie, Destiny, superhero. Below it, Southeastern Guide Dogs. I mean, you know, and then of course guidedogs.org.
Did you guys hear about the guide dog stood in front of the bus and like
stopped the bus so the guy could
Anyway, I mean, it's amazing what they can do with the training of them. But I'm just thinking, see, they had to know their message. They had to know who they were. They had to drill down on this. I have no doubt that C-Suite took them through that whole strategizing of their message.
That couldn't have been that hard. You have dogs?
If you have dogs, you must have puppies.
Think about this, though.
Yeah.
They're not targeting those ads to their future clients.
Targeting it to the general audience.
Because their future clients can't see the billboards.
No, exactly. No.
They're targeting them to the people who write checks to support the organization.
Yep, that's exactly right. It's not even the decision makers for those clients. That's for people to support them, to be aware of them.
Right, to raise money because they're always raising money. And I guarantee you that is the mission of Southeastern Guide Dogs ad campaign is to raise money.
Yep. Fascinating.
Isn't that good?
Yeah, and so they've got it across mediums. But I just wanted to use that example because here's an organization that has to know who they are, what they're doing, what they're selling, sort of, you know, what service they're providing, you know, and so you need to be able to strategize that. In other words, when I say strategize, I'm talking 30,000 feet. The first thing, before you figure out all your tactics and all your mediums and all, you have to be able to have your big picture. What are we and what are we doing here? And what they are doing, of course, is raising money.
Okay, so I have a question. I have a question for you guys, because I think this will help kind of bring this home a little bit to a listener, you know, today. We often ask this question with clients, but I do this with audiences too. So we ask the question, what business are you really in? And so, you know, if you're Southeastern guide dogs, you might say, well, we raise puppies. You know,
we train puppies to help dogs. People.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So let's use an illustration. So I use this all the time with audiences and clients, as I said. So Starbucks, right, since we're drinking their coffee today, Starbucks roasts coffee beans that they purchase from growers all over the world, right? They buy the beans from the growers. They roast them in Seattle. Then they sell the beans primarily by making beverages out of them in their retail stores, local retail Starbucks like we know about. Of course, you can find the beans in grocery stores and other places too, but most of the time when Starbucks sells their beans, it's by making a beverage out of them in a local retail store. Okay, so this is multiple choice. What business is Starbucks in? Is it A, coffee?
Mm-mm, it's fast Wi-Fi.
B, beverages.
That's why I'm there.
C, legal addictive stimulants. Or D, entertainment.
D.
I was going to say D. I really like D. What's the real answer?
So think about this.
D encompasses the other three.
But how would you answer this question in your business, right?
Right.
A lot of times businesses come to us, you know, marketing types.
Right.
And they say, well, our market is boring. You know, we sell a commodity. You know? Guess what? Coffee is traded on the commodities exchange. You literally don't get any more commoditized than coffee.
Really? I mean, think about it. 30 years ago, coffee was whatever the waitress poured in the cup at the restaurant, whatever.
And often still is at restaurants.
At restaurants, but, yes.
Yeah, but so you can't answer based on your widget, in other words. So right. When I ask you, what business are you in? And you say, well, we make boxes, you know, or we sell a service or whatever. You can't answer it that way because then your strategy is going to be built around a widget,
right,
and a commodity. And so if you're at Starbucks, if let's say you're the head of marketing at Starbucks, right, your job now is to cause people to visit your locations and pay more than they would have to pay for a cup of coffee, 3 to 4 times more. Like I have a friend who calls it $4,
right?
Not Starbucks, right? So, and you can
still—that's on the low side for some.
I was gonna say $7.
Yeah, really, it depends. You can. I have another friend who we're gonna try to have on the show actually, who figured out, and he does this regularly. He'll go into Starbucks and try to ask them, "What's the most expensive cup of coffee you can make?" And so, he had them add like he's gotten it up to like $47.
No. Seriously,
yeah, and it still fits in a venti cup.
Is it drinkable?
No, of course not.
Of course. Okay.
But they add this shot of that and flavor this and that, and he gets it all the way up to like $47, and then he tells them, "Okay, yeah, I don't want that." So he just, you know,
wow.
Usually does it when there's not a line, but it's pretty funny to think about. But you okay? So you're in charge of marketing for Starbucks. You're gonna take a commodity. And you're going to get people to pay 3 to 4 times more than they would have to pay for it multiple times per day. Because think about the people you know that are real Starbucks fans.
Right.
And Josh, you and I kind of, you know, because we go there a lot, right? Well, we all three met up at a Starbucks. What am
right.
I saying? So
I go to them more than I should.
So what can you do with your commodity that causes it to be something that gives you high gross margins? And in other words, what did Starbucks do? Right,
they create an experience.
They did, and I think that's ultimately what we're saying. They figured out what the customer really wanted
right.
to pay for,
right.
And they bundled it around a commodity.
There's a CPA office in Denver, Colorado, that turned their entire workplace into a coffee shop. Literally, you have to get
smart.
A key to go to the bathroom, like. What was the other thing? You have to pay for your drinks.
That could backfire.
You have to pay for a drink before you can get the Wi-Fi password.
Okay.
Like they have guests coming in the evening, you know.
So it's like a co-working space kind of a deal?
No, it's literally the CPA.
Like, right, but you go and you buy coffee there.
I think that they let anybody in,
yeah,
at this point in time. But they turned their work atmosphere.
But that's what I'm saying. Like if they made a co-working space, then obviously it's great branding for them because a lot of small businesses.
They changed the name of their company to reflect the coffee.
Okay.
They said, I think it was called the Bean Counters.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hey. Gotta love a good pun. Hey.
Really? Yeah.
Do you have something to say? Because I have something to say.
Go, you say it.
All right. So another way to think about this conundrum.
Josh has podcasts to catch up on here.
Yeah. Right.
What? Lots of words.
We've said a lot more than you. You missed two episodes, buddy. You better catch up.
Okay, here we go. 10 minutes right here. So another way to look at this messaging idea is to figure out, what does your product allow your customers to do? So instead of, we sell a drill that allows you to, you know, drill
holes.
Holes.
Right.
Sell the fact that you sell them the hole.
Or what can you do now that you have holes drilled? What can you make out of it?
Even further.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. I mean, that would work too. But sure. Even just taking, like, what is the actual product? Like, what to your customer is your product? Because to you, your product is different because you're on the other side.
Yeah. Right. And your customer just wants to use your product to an end.
Exactly. And so what is that end? And that's what you sell.
So you could argue that Starbucks is in the coffee business. But if you argue that, you have to say, well, then they have to compete on either quality or price.
Right.
And you could argue the quality question because, yeah, it's arguably better than 7-Eleven. You know, or
although 7-Eleven is not bad,
Circle K or wherever
Circle
you get
K
your coffee.
Is not good.
But that's my point. Is that it's
I should not know all these.
There's a little. Yeah, you really shouldn't. I don't.
They sell convenience now.
The Keurig. Convenience stores are everywhere too.
Right.
Right. So
no, not convenient. I'm saying they sell the convenience. The fact that they are everywhere. They're a brand that you can expect. You can typically get the same experience every time you go.
You're talking about Starbucks still, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Because their drive-through is their main driver, and most of their customers do drive-through. More than
I would argue that because I think
I wonder.
No, me and you go in, but most of their business.
But there's an awful lot of
those stores
sure that
don't
even have drive-throughs.
I was
going to
say I'm not even sure that most of their stores even have drive-throughs. So a lot of their freestanding stores.
Well,
do,
the
right?
new the, all the new stores going in.
But you're but
do
if you go to New York City,
I was going
to
say
no
all of the urban ones, the downtown Sarasota ones don't.
Yeah,
so.
Right. I'm going to stand by it. We can do some research later. But yeah. I was talking to a Starbucks employee yesterday.
Mad.
So.
Yeah, let's do no. Okay, so but the point is that if you compete purely on the commodity, then right. you have to differentiate on either quality or price.
Right.
And they clearly don't compete on price. I mean,
yeah.
Starbucks.
And that puts you in a very small box then.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. And you will always be limited. So Starbucks said, what does the customer really want that the customer doesn't even know they want? Because think about it. When Starbucks came along, none of us knew we wanted a,
I
know,
knew it as soon as I saw it. I knew
exactly.
That's what I want.
Yeah, because it's all of those things. It's the experience. It's convenience. It's consistency. It's a little bit of branding there because you have a little status based on the fact that you're carrying around the cup with the green emblem on it.
Sure, right? Your green emblem.
Yeah, and there's a little bit of a cult of Starbucks, you know, the followers, the people who enjoy it.
Can I just ask, do you actually like Starbucks?
I do, but I
hate them, but I use them because it's convenient.
Okay, but so you use it as a meeting place, a place to work, right? All right, these are all part of the things.
But see, that's all part of the experience thing.
That Starbucks is selling.
Right.
And they bundle it around an expensive cup of coffee,
right?
And it works.
And you notice they're always tweaking their experience. You know, there's stores here, Starbucks stores, that are going through their third renovation. You know, and they're just they're
they've
changing.
Only been in business for 10, 15
exactly.
years, right?
10, 12 years, and that
and,
store is on its third
Dunkin' Donuts still has fluorescent lighting in most of their stores. Yeah. What are they thinking?
So think about the whole experience. You go into the Starbucks. First of all, if you go into a 7-Eleven or a convenience store and you buy a cup of coffee,
that's
you,
purely based on convenience.
You can go in there for 1 minute, right? If they're not busy, you
depends
get your
on
cup,
how many people are buying lotto tickets in front of you.
And you get out, and you still have that smell on your clothes. And for the rest of the day, you smell like, I don't know if it's like smoke, even though in Florida it's a clean air state, we're not allowed to smoke indoors. Someone's been smoking in that place.
Everybody was smoking when they came in, before
and,
they came
and
in.
The,
so.
And the reek of like roasting hot dogs that have been sitting in that thing
right,
for
so
too
you're
long.
Saying the experience is a little different at your basic Circle K
a
than
little
at Starbucks.
Bit. And I would be willing to pay more for a cup of coffee, even if it was no better, just so that I didn't smell like that, right,
okay.
When I left. But then when you go into a Starbucks, there is a nice aroma. They've been grinding the espresso beans regularly, you know,
right.
And they're making their stuff. And there's a place to meet. I see people I know, you know, even though I might not want to. I see people I know.
Right.
The baristas might know my name. First of all, there are baristas, right? But they might know my name. They might even know my order. I remember I spent a week in Singapore doing a consulting project, and I had to walk by a Starbucks every day on the way.
It's like you just dropped a name, but the name was a city.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
It's also a country.
Yeah, it's true.
And,
it is. You're
and
right.
An island. Yeah. So
all true.
And I was doing a project for a major global, you know, operation, yes. Multinational conglomerate.
Dropping
major
again.
Global
dropping.
Organization.
I wasn't going to drop anything, but since you said it, you know, I thought I would. But anyway, I was doing a project there. And by the end of the week, the barista at the Starbucks there knew before I placed my order they were already making my grande almond cappuccino.
So you got the exact same thing every time?
Every time. But Starbucks really ticked me off a few years ago when they dropped the almond syrup. In the 2008 reorganization, Howard Schultz cleaned house and they got rid of a bunch of products. And for a long time, my blog post about it was number one in Google for Starbucks almond syrup. If you Googled it. I haven't looked recently, okay. So it might still be. So, but anyway, my point was...
I just can't believe we're still talking about Starbucks.
These were things that I wanted, though. This is the thing. It's getting to know what your customer really wants and selling it to them in a way that's different than your competition. Because, look, 7-Eleven, not even Dunkin' Donuts is going to charge $4 for a cup of coffee. Right? Starbucks has the ability to do that because they're bundling all these other things that we really want and don't... We didn't know it before, but we do now.
Right.
And that's why they're so successful. Because they created a phenomenal experience. So the point is to know who your customer is first. And we've spent some time talking about that, right? Identifying your best customer. And then knowing what they really want, perhaps even more than they do.
And right. So you're talking about the business.
As
the business, know what your customer wants, what they want to do with your widget or with your service. What are they trying to accomplish?
Well, my question to you is, have you seen a Starbucks advertise?
Starbucks does spend some money on advertising, but it's pretty rare.
Yeah. What's their messaging? I don't even know what their messaging
most
is.
Of their branding,
I've never seen it.
Most of their branding happens on the cups.
Yep.
Right.
You know, but they do television spots, especially when there's a new product rollout. They do some television like that. They do some print. They do a lot of local sponsorships. So they authorize their stores to do, you know, fundraising for schools and all these other kinds of. They have a little mobile truck. I don't know if you know this, but
I don't think any of that is central to their marketing, though. Their marketing is their experience.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's where they've invested all of their money, yep. and it's all in creating the experience. And it creates a situation that naturally causes the customers to evangelize about the brand.
Right.
And these are all lessons that you can...
There is no better marketing
exactly.
than happy customers.
You can implement this in your business. You have to know first who your customer is, you have to know what they want, and figure out a way to bundle what they want into a product offering or a service offering that gives them the things that they really want. So if you're in a commodity service type business, what can you do that people... Like, let's talk about plumbing for a second. What is it that people really want when they hire a plumber? Right, they want their immediate problem solved, whatever right. that is.
They want their toilet to flush.
But right. most plumbers are going to be able to pull that off.
Right.
So do you want a plumber that shows up at your door inappropriately dressed with the ability to have the plumber's crack thing that we always joke about right. and that's going to track dirt in onto your nice carpet and reek and smell and leave an aroma behind when they leave?
So and that's how a lot of plumbing companies are separating themselves. You'll see the guys, I mean, my son works for one where it's clean, crisp shirts every day. They've got a name tag, clip-ons and everything. It's well identified. They have their name stitched on all their shirts. It's white and all. Everything must be tucked in. They put footy things over their boots and all when they're going in.
They show up on time?
Do
they
show up on time? Of course they're on time. And if there's going to be any problem there, there's communications because sometimes, you know, things come up and all.
Sure.
And that really makes it, but that's a premium too.
They're
not the cheapest plumbers in town by a long shot.
Those are the things people want to pay for.
Yes.
And bundle with
right.
the repair.
Speaking of cracks.
Oh boy.
I just did an ad campaign and I'd love to hear you guys' opinion on whether this is effective or not. I'm not even going to tell you what the business is. We'll just tell you the ad line. See a crack, call my company name.
Cement?
Is there an image associated with this ad? Or is it?
Yes, there's an image associated with this ad.
What's the image?
It's a lady looking at a phone, gasping.
Oh, for the screen.
Mm-hmm.
The iPhone screen or the iPad screen.
iHeartRepair.com.
I like it. Yeah.
Sorry, I just plugged that right on there.
But even though you don't own the business anymore, you still are doing consulting work for them.
Yeah.
So that's cool. See a crack?
Call M-Tech.
I like it.
It's from a book that I read talking about how if you can tie something that you do to a habit or some sort of visual. So the idea being that whenever they see a crack, whether it's on their phone or somebody else's, they'll think of the brand.
Yeah, that triggers the association.
That's the hope.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of brand awareness campaign for the digital age, if that makes sense.
But does it tie in M-Tech's core message in some way to the ad? That's my next. Or when they click on the ad, what does it take them to, right?
Right. It takes them to a different page, which... you know, there's a principle in marketing where you want to have the same copy on the page they land in,
sure,
than what they came from.
You want it to echo back to the
but
ad.
In this case, it does not, because then we go a little bit more into the value proposition. So, but it's a brand new ad, so we need to go look at the numbers to see how well it's converting.
It'd be interesting
sort of
to see. So. But there again, so your message, once you've identified some messaging around your business, right? You know what business you're really in. That messaging is going to be expressed many different ways in many different media, right? So, you know, a Facebook ad,
yeah,
a pay-per-click ad, you know, a display ad, a billboard, whatever it might be that you do, you know, or a podcast ad, or, you know, however you might choose to promote your business. Nothing gratuitous there at all. Those things are going to look different, you know, in different media. But figuring out your core message, you really have to answer this question of what business you're in first. You can't establish a core message without understanding what the customers really want.
It really takes backing up. Yeah, backing up a long ways to get that 30,000 foot view, sort of.
So, which is great. Go ahead. But once you have it, here's what just bothers me and gets to me is I do a lot of AdWords optimizing for clients. And just because that's such a tricky term and it's becoming more and more competitive. Anyway, won't go down that road. But in order to get the quality score up from Google that you need to have lower priced clicks, you need to have the same content in your ad as what's on the page that you're sending.
They have to match. You know, Google doesn't want you paying for ads and getting traffic and then baiting and switching people. So they score your
exactly,
your whole ad based on that experience.
So if you're selling pressure washing, you need to have the word pressure washing city name in the ad, of course, pressure washing city name on the page, hopefully several times, so that they see, okay, this is very relevant content.
Exactly. Yeah, they're measuring relevance, right?
But going back to our messaging, pressure washing is not the message that you want to send to your customers.
Right. Right.
So here's what I always get bothered by is first line, I got to put what we do because Google wants to see what we do. And that's what people are actually searching for. When they go into Google, they're searching for what you do. They aren't searching
first
for your
line
messaging
on the ad.
Yeah. But
so this is what I a lot of times.
But I would like the first time in the ad line on the ad to be the actual message.
Well,
you know,
so we use a headline, a big headline, as the visual statement of the real message that we want to convey.
Did you know if you put an exclamation point at the end of the second line, it brings it up on the same line as the first?
You're talking about the ad?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm talking about the landing page. So yeah, I was aware of that, but the landing page itself, right? On the page itself, one of the ways you can get away with doing what you're trying to do, use a big headline that talks about your sparkling clean house that your neighbors are gonna, you know, be envious of, or whatever your message really is for pressure washing, and then use a very small pre-headline above it that talks about pressure washing and city name.
Okay.
So you're talking about that on the landing page.
On the landing page itself, you still get away with the terminology being used first.
And use that as the H1, even though it's smaller. Maybe do the H2 for the...
How you mark up your HTML is probably another question. Yeah, but, because there are different
Google
ways to do that.
Google looks at that. So.
I know, but very prominently, Google is also smart enough to know that even if it's an H1, if it's small,
right,
you're not emphasizing it. So I don't know that really pays off. But... If
it's
the
title
is,
of the page, I think you'd be good enough.
Page
probably.
Title,
yeah.
Pre-head, and then but your dominant visual message to the viewer when they land on the page is something else about the value proposition rather than the other stuff. So
yeah.
But once you've defined what it is that you really sell and you have a real understanding of that, it changes your strategy completely. Because if you're Starbucks, you realize you don't compete with the customer's coffee budget. You don't compete with their caffeine budget. You know, with other ways to get caffeine, because I can get caffeine inexpensively other ways, right?
Right.
You're not competing over beverages even. I mean, they can buy bottled water and coffee and other things much more cheaply in other places. What you're really competing for if you're Starbucks is their treat yourself money, right? Or their hold a meeting money, because mm-hmm. there are lots of ways to hold meetings, yep. right? Some of them more pricey than others.
Yep. Or their work remotely money.
Yeah, your get out of the office and get something done money, mm-hmm. right?
They should
right.
have a tagline that says small business is done in Starbucks.
Yeah.
Or runs absolutely. On Starbucks or something.
Runs on Starbucks. That's
Wait,
not bad, actually.
That sounds like
Yeah, it's going to say America
Dunkin'
runs
Donuts.
On Dunkin'. Yeah, that's a little...
But they might not want to do that.
But your point... But see, they don't even have to come out and say it. And this is the other thing. I had a good friend. Have I ever told the BMW Mercedes story on this podcast? I don't think I have.
No.
I have a good friend who was traveling, and he landed in... he was doing a layover in Washington, D.C. So he's in the airport, and he's getting a sandwich at Subway, and he walks up, and you know how the restaurants in the airport, they have those tables that you can stand at, but you can't sit at. There are no You know, they're kind of tall, and there's a place for you to set your luggage down, but you can't sit.
Right.
And so he's at one of those, and it's really jammed, and there's no openings. And a guy walks up and says, "Hey, do you mind if I, you know, have a sandwich here?" "No, fine," because there's room at his table. And the guy sets down a bag that's a gorgeous, highly expensive Italian leather bag emblazoned with gorgeous embroidery with the Mercedes-Benz logo.
Mm-hmm.
So talk about a conversation starter, right? So my friend, who's a business owner at the time and is a BMW guy like me, looks over at the guy and says, "So what do you do?" And it turns out the guy was head of marketing for North America for Mercedes-Benz USA.
Oh, fun.
Okay.
All right.
Hence the bag.
So exactly. So my friend, business owner, BMW guy, "Hey, this is an opportunity that you're just not going to get very often." So he strikes up a conversation, and he asks, along the way, he asks the guy, "What is the message that you really try to convey in your advertising for Mercedes-Benz?" You think about that for a minute. You know, you're head of marketing for Mercedes-Benz North America, and your job is to get the message out about the brand. How do you message Mercedes-Benz? So his answer went something like this. He said, "Well, first of all, we have two types of customers." Okay, so right away, even before he got into the message, he was talking about who it's to.
Yep.
Right? So, which is just so telling.
Separate
right.
messaging for each customer.
Yep, so you have two personas they go after.
Two messaging personas. That caters to both.
Yeah, well, there's two separate messages.
Okay, and I'll let you talk.
Here's what he said. The first type of customer, he said they're kind of a, I don't remember the exact verbiage that he used, but they're like our legacy customer. They've been a customer of ours for generations. They know our brand. They know quality. They buy quality. He said, "Honestly, we don't do much in terms of advertising to this group, because they're going to buy our brand no matter what."
That's on the product side. Keep the product strong and what those people want, and you got them coming back.
And the experience, you know, you keep them. Yeah, sure. You keep the experience solid and all that stuff. So, so a marketing message, not so important for that group.
Right.
You know, it's like you said, keep the product and the experience solid. So he said, our second group is where we spend all of our ad money. And this group may not have the financial status of the other group, but they want to create the impression that they have the financial status of
posers.
The other group. Okay, so yeah, good word. But so he said they're usually kind of on the upswing in their life, or their career is moving up, or at least they want to convey that, right?
Right.
And so he talked a little bit more about that group, and he said ultimately, what we try to convey in our marketing is that if you buy our product, it makes you a more valuable person.
Hmm. And that's going to really strike that second group, isn't it?
That's some deep-rooted psychology right there.
Yeah.
If you buy a Mercedes-Benz, it's going to make you a more valuable person.
Even if you're leasing it.
All you have to do is be driving it.
Exactly.
You're driving it up to the business, to the client, to the whatever you're at,
hey,
to the meeting.
Hey, have you guys heard of lifestyle marketing?
Well, of course.
These guys that take pictures in front of Ferraris and stuff, and they're like, "Check me out.
Yep.
I'm doing a small business course."
And Ferraris in front of mansions and all.
On a beach.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Or on the water with,
Sorry.
Yeah.
Now that I've realized what that's all about, so irritated by it.
I know.
Yes, we don't recommend.
So I guess the point is that understanding your message, you'll never see Mercedes-Benz run an ad that says, "Hey, buy our car and it'll make you a more valuable person." They don't say it. But it's there.
Right.
It's woven throughout every form of messaging that they create. And all the way down to what you get at this showroom when you walk in, you know, and the way they train the salespeople and all of that other stuff. It because deep down you want to be more valuable, you know, and they're giving you a way, at least the way that they've pitched their product, that you can look like a more valuable person and perhaps even become one.
Right. So again, here we have a company who knows what they're doing. They know who they are, and they know the message they need to get across. You know, they've got this strategy. They've got their strategy down, and with that, they moved forward then with their message.
Yeah.
But they had to do the first thing first. They had to know they're more than just a luxury car, right? There's lots of luxury cars.
Exactly.
So they had to separate themselves from that, just like Starbucks had. Well, there's a lot of places to sell coffee. They had to separate themselves. To me, the Mercedes is saying, look, you sit in this. Not only do you have the great experience sitting in the Mercedes, but you also present yourself as a valuable person to anybody seeing you sit within the Mercedes.
Yeah. So if you're thinking about how to create a messaging strategy for your business, First things first, you got to know who you're talking to. Secondly, you've got to understand what business you're really in and what your customers really want to buy, just like the Starbucks analogy.
And why they want to buy it. What is the end game for what they want from your product or service?
What are they going to do with it?
What do they want that hole for? They don't care about your drill bit. What do they want the hole to accomplish that it's drilling?
Yeah, good. And then thirdly, you've got to be able to craft. So one way that we look at this is by using an archery example, right? An analogy based on archery. And
archery.
You know, what marketing company doesn't use that, right? But so you have a target. Right. Over here, you've got a bullseye on the target, right? You don't need to just hit the target. You really need to figure out who the bullseye is,
right?
If you, the more you know about the bullseye and your target and what drives them emotionally, like they want to be more valuable, you know, or whatever it might be. And again, it depends on your industry, your business, and who they are, you know, which particular type of customer that you have or you want to have. So you target them down to the bullseye. You know as much as you can. You build your personas, just like Mercedes-Benz built two different personas. They knew who their customers are. They knew who their messaging is for. And like Joey talked about last week, he didn't use the word persona, but that's what he described. You got to know who your bullseye is. The second piece of the analogy is the archer with the bow. You've got to know who you are. Where do you stand in relationship to the target? How far away are you? You know, how close are you? You know, there's all sorts of things that factor into the relationship between those two pieces. But you have to understand your own identity, what business you're really in. Mm-hmm. And then the third piece is the arrow. What are you going to launch from your bow that's going to penetrate the heart of the bullseye?
Right.
And that's your message.
That's your message.
That's your message. And ultimately, heart is used very, very intentionally because marketing is all about emotion. You know, it's all about relationships, as we've said before, but relationships get established. There's an old saying, you know, the mind justifies what the heart desires. Mm-hmm. The more you know about what people want, what their desires really are, the more you'll be able to effectively penetrate their heart with your message when you have kind of aligned all those three pieces.
Well, can I say something in closing here? I think the fear as a business owner is that you get too specific and you miss out on all of these other customers.
It's true.
Especially if you're local and you're doing some sort of generic service that really applies to everybody. That's something I struggled with at my last company. But I knew enough to focus. I wish we would have focused even more. But but what I've learned recently is that if you resonate extremely well with one type of person, you will get the penetration you need, the brand awareness you need, the word of mouth that you need, that some of these other people you aren't targeting will still find you and use your service.
Exactly.
It's not that you won't be relevant to everybody else. It's that you'll be extremely relevant to the people you really want.
And that ultimately ripples throughout, the effects of that ripples throughout every part of your business.
Yeah, so don't be afraid to get really, really, really specific.
Exactly.
Like, what do they wear? What websites do they read? How many kids do they have?
What kind
obviously,
of car they
how
drive?
Old are they?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I mean, get really specific so that when you're thinking of messaging and you're thinking of something, you know, like for me, the, you know, see a crack. Call, I think that one's maybe a little too simple just because it's so, but maybe not.
It depends on who the person is in the image, right? If you chose an image with the person that matches your target market.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and then you can take every bit of messaging that you're considering sending out and think, does this resonate with the person I'm trying to reach?
Yeah. Yeah, fantastic stuff.
That's your litmus test.
All right. Well, I like it. I think we've had a lot of fun. I hope this discussion today has been valuable to you as you're listening. And we are excited about having you as a listener. So why don't we close this show down? We've got another great show next week and a New York Times bestselling author in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Very excited about that. So a lot of great stuff to come. In the meantime, if you need help with your messaging, let us know. We really want to hear. We're not soliciting clients here. We want to know what challenges you're facing with your messaging.
Yeah.
Ask us, reach out. You can hit us up on Twitter for the show at GTD Show. You can find Josh on Twitter, Josh Muccio, at Josh Muccio. And Rod, you're on Twitter as Rod_Thompson.
Without the P.
Without the P.
Yeah, no P in Thompson, but there is a P in ThompsonPR.com.
Yes, there is.
You say that every time.
Got to say it.
Yeah, it's true.
You can find me on Twitter at TheDavidJohnson. And like I said, we're just so excited that you're listening. And we want to know what marketing challenges, what other business challenges you might be facing.
Truly, because if you share those challenges and if we address them on air, almost assuredly, there's going to be a whole lot of other people that can learn from it.
Absolutely. Yep. So we look forward to having you back next time. Guys, great show today.
Love it.
See you next week.
Boom.
Thanks for listening to the Grow the Dream Show. We invite you to subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app. Get connected to our growing community, add your comments, ask questions, and listen to the archives on the web at growthedream.com/show.